Blessing to be together this evening. Had a few thoughts that I just want to share here this evening before we have our Bible study. And few thoughts here, a couple of scriptures we'd like to turn to that aren't necessarily on our lesson, on the lesson itself tonight, a few scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit that I'd like to talk about here before we start the Bible study. I don't know about you all, but the study has been a blessing for me. I don't know how you all been finding it. I'm meditating on these scriptures, and so I trust that our discussions together will be edifying. Will be an encouragement. I did want to say that on the back side of your paper, there was a slot here, additional thoughts or points for discussion, and I that was put on there for a reason, especially I think for you, for the fathers in the group, and if you have thoughts, suggestions that can be incorporated into the next lessons, things that thoughts you would have. I'm not in three lessons. This isn't going to be an exhaustive study, and yet there are things that we'd like to cover. Things that are important. So just feel free with that, especially the fathers, and as you join in here, and also young people, questions, maybe even questions regarding the Holy Spirit. I'm not suggesting here that we can answer all of those questions, but we can look into the Word of God together. And feel like I'm learning on this study, and I trust that you are as well. So if you want to open your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 1, we'd like to, I'd just like to get into a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 1. We read a phrase here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." It was probably a few years ago I had done a study on that the earnest of our inheritance, and don't know exactly. I didn't pull all of that back up, but when the children of Israel, when they were brought out of Egypt, and they got to the Jordan River, and that land of Canaan, that was beyond the river, that was not a land. That land that was there, it was not something that they had earned. It was an inheritance. It had been promised to Abraham. There had been a covenant made to their fathers, and that land that was beyond Jordan there, they were commanded to go in and conquer that land and to inherit it. But it wasn't something that they paid for. It wasn't something that they deserved. It wasn't something that they earned. It was a promise of God to them. And it was an inheritance. It was an inheritance because of who they were as the children of Abraham. When we come into Christ, when we yield our lives to Christ, there is a vast inheritance that we do not deserve, we do not buy, we do not pay for. There are conditions, we know that, we talk about that. There are conditions that we meet to gain that inheritance, but we do not buy it, we don't pay for it. It is, and when we receive the fullness of that inheritance, one day we will fully realize how unworthy we actually are of it. That's just trying to describe inheritance. It's not something that you obtain by working for it. It's something that you're given, an inheritance. Well, the Holy Spirit here is called the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest there is a down payment. It's a down payment. If there's something, I think we all know the term down payment. I don't know if that's a real good term for that, but I believe that gives us an idea of what that is. But the Holy Spirit is given to us as the first portion of the inheritance. And that makes it, should in our minds make it something very important. It's the first portion of the inheritance. If we hope to gain entrance at heaven in the eternal bliss one day, it's going to be given to those who have the first portion of it. Those who have received from God that first part of the inheritance are the ones who will actually gain the rest of it as well. And it is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. It's a promise. In the first portion of our study here was some promises concerning the Holy Spirit, that God would pour out His Spirit upon people, upon a people, and I know that we live in a day when there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. That's prompting part of our study here. There's a lot of mysticism, and I realize that we are not professing here to understand everything. Yet we'd like to keep this study very practical, and what has God given us through the power of His Spirit? So we'll look at a few scriptures here. But this term of being sealed with the Holy Spirit is given to us several times. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to turn to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. I'll start reading on verse 21. Now he which establisheth you, us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who also hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Also in Ephesians chapter 4, I know we were in Ephesians, but if you want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And verse 30 and of chapter 4, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So this is the third time we read that term, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is given to us as the earnest of our inheritance. And it's part of that gift of salvation that is given to us to ensure that we make it. that we gain the whole inheritance. And we are warned here to not grieve the Holy Spirit, to not do things against in our life, to do things against the Holy Spirit, which will grieve Him. I didn't look up there. Does anyone have a definition for that, for the word grieve there? I don't have one, so I'm just asking if anyone has one. Dan? Offend. Okay. It's a good, and offend not, or the Holy Spirit of God. So that would be a study of its own. Sadden? Sadden. I was reading that once, and I had this thought. I realize that that's probably an entire study in itself, grieving the Holy Spirit. But I was reading that once, and I had this thought of verse 29, that corrupt communication proceeding out of our mouth is a good way to offend the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've done that. I think I've done that. I've said things, and there's this heaviness that comes, like as something that needs to be made right, because I can't just function like this. So I know it can, I think it can go much deeper than that. If you continually offend or continually sadden the Holy Spirit, I think we probably, it's safe to assume what will happen if we do that, if there's a pattern of that. So so appreciate that, those thoughts, brothers. So I wanted to talk just briefly, and I don't know if we'll get into this more on the rest of our studies, because I feel a little bit not fully prepared to share on it here. It was kind of came a little late to me, this part of it. But I'd like to talk just a little bit, just open this up, and maybe we can talk about it some more in some of the future studies, but a little bit of the difference between the Holy Spirit and our conscience. And I'd like to give a couple examples, and I know that, like I said, there's more, a lot more to that than what I can share here, but maybe just a few practical thoughts. If you've grown up in a Christian home, and you've been taught Christian principles, more or less, in various degrees, if you would walk into a store and take a pack of gum and slip it in your pocket, and walk out the door, you would feel convicted. Your conscience would convict you. You've been taught that that's wrong. Now, the Holy Spirit does work through our conscience, but the point that I'd like to make here tonight is that the Holy Spirit works beyond our conscience. And hopefully I can illustrate that, just so we can get a... And there is, I think, in all of us, even if we haven't grown up in a Christian home, there's elements of the law of God that would convict us if we hurt someone or do damage to someone or to someone else's property. I was very much unconverted, and if I damaged someone else's property, there would be a conviction, and I believe the conscience will do that. The conscience, the law of God written on our conscience will do that. You may have been taught that if someone does wrong to you, that not to retaliate. So, in other words, if someone bumps into you at Walmart, you don't necessarily start punching them. You just know not to do that. Or someone does something intentionally. Most of us would have enough self-restraint or enough conscience to not retaliate. But to go beyond that and to actually love someone that is doing wrong to you is going to require something more than your conscience. Your conscience won't necessarily give you the power to do that. To go and do good to that person, maybe earnestly pray for them, or to do good to them, is going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's probably many better illustrations than that we could use. In Acts, one of the passages here that we're going to study tonight is in Acts 1:8. It says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." And so power, it says power there, uses the word power, power to be witnesses. The word witnesses there is martyrs. I think you'll probably have found that if you studied that. Power to lay down your life for the cause of Christ. So in illustrating here the difference between our conscience and the Holy Spirit, your conscience isn't necessarily going to prompt you when you're at a gas station. Your conscience isn't necessarily going to, it may prompt you to be courteous, to not do something bad to somebody, or to keep you from sin. Your conscience will do that. But your conscience isn't necessarily going to prompt you to care about someone, maybe go give them a tract, to actually be thinking about someone else's well-being and to try to help someone. The Holy Spirit will do that. I believe that would be evidence of the Holy Spirit, to actually be caring about someone else. Now, there's a lot of other illustrations that we could use that would be better. Maybe we can get more into that in future discussions. But so the earnest of our inheritance, part of the work of the Spirit of God working in us, is to help us be fruitful in this life, to bear fruit for Christ, to be useful for His kingdom, to have that power to actually be useful for Him. Also to keep us from sin, also to reprove us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. We'll read that in John. But here's another one, another scripture here in Galatians 4, verse 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians 4, verse 6, verse 5 says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And there you have that heir. You have inheritance there spoken of. But I was thinking about the difference here between in prayer. Maybe, you know, just again illustrating the difference between our conscience and the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. I prayed a lot before I was converted. I would read prayers. I'd recite prayers. But after I got converted, praying became different. When God puts the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, then praying becomes reality. We talk to God. We communicate with God. We have access. We have access to God. We're through Christ. We have access to Him, and praying becomes a reality. There's a you know, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And we pray, and we receive a comfort that our prayers are being heard, and that there's God hears, that God will answer, God cares. There's a comfort that happens through the Holy Spirit. That's powerful scripture. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. So we think of Jesus. We think of Jesus going out on the mountain and talking to his father. And we think of myself in my prayer closet. But the Spirit of Jesus in my heart, crying, Abba, Father. And we pray. That's available. That's available to us. Is that always, am I always walking in the Spirit in that way? I am ashamed to say that I am not always. There's times when maybe I'm distracted and maybe I'm reciting prayers, and you know, we can go back to that. But that's the opportunity, that's the earnest of our inheritance. That's the first part of the inheritance, is that we have access to God in this life. That's the first part. That's for each one of us. None of us are above each other here. We're just we can. That's for us, each one of us. Okay, one more scripture here. I didn't want to go too long. One more scripture. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, beginning on verse 25. I'm kind of breaking in here. I know we could go back further. Verse 25, 1 John chapter 2. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So the context here is deception. That's the context. John's warning them about deception. I'm writing concerning those that seduce you. And then he says this, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. But one of the names here of the Holy Spirit is the anointing. The anointing. And the context here is protection from deception. That's the context. And there's a couple things here that I'd like to share. Is one is it's important that we learn to walk in the Spirit. It's important that we learn the voice of the Holy Spirit, because there's going to be times when there's no one else with you and you're going to be alone. But you can have a confidence that the anointing of the Spirit of God will direct you in those times. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will protect you. And when I look back at my experience, and I look back especially when I was a young Christian, and I think of some of the things, some of the deceptions, some of the false concepts that came my way, and they sounded so right and sounded so good, and many times they were backed up with many passages of Scripture, but there was something in me that said that that's not right. There's something wrong with it. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong with it. And I look back and I think it's just the grace of God. It's the anointing. It's the Spirit of God that will keep you. If you walk with God, the Spirit, you can have a confidence. And that's why I think in those times you shouldn't do anything hasty, first of all. Give it some time. A lot of times, if you give it some time, if there's a high pressure, something's coming at you, high pressure, and the voice is saying, if you don't do it right now, you're going to miss it, usually not from God. God doesn't work that way. the anointing, but there's in John 16, it says that he'll bring to remembrance. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the things that Jesus taught. So that makes it very important that we're familiar with the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will then bring the Scriptures to mind. Just like it worked for Jesus when the devil was tempting him, and the devil told him, "Why don't you turn these stones into bread?" And the Word of God came. Jesus used the Word of God. He said, "Well, man shall not live by bread alone." In other words, I'm not listening. Both passages, you could say there wasn't anything wrong with what the devil was trying to tell him, but Jesus, the Scripture came to his mind, and he knew he shouldn't listen to the voice, that voice. It's the wrong voice. So, the anointing. Anyway, there's a study of it. That's a study of its own. I just like to keep that just very basic. But there's a lot more that could be shared on that. I think I'll just leave off there. Trust that your study and discussion will be a blessing this evening. Part of the burden of this lesson was that we become familiar with who the Holy Spirit is, and so that we can recognize Him, and that we can recognize His voice. And so, I think Jonas is going to moderate here and do the lead out with dividing up in groups. But I'll just close with that. So, trust the study will be a blessing this evening.